Are you ready? Let's cover some ground this morning. Okay? Father God, you're a good dad. Lord, we're grateful that you sent Jesus for us to not only make us righteous in him, but that through Jesus and through his stripes, you have provided healing in every area of our bodies, healing to our minds, healing to our emotions, our hearts, healing, Lord, in every aspect of our lives. It is already done, and we are grateful. Now, Holy Spirit, you have license today in this body, in this church, in this class, in our lives, to reveal the depth of what you've done, what's been accomplished for us, and as our helper, help us to get it. I mean, really get it. And help us to understand today how to apply your word for healing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, before I start on the class, the title of this one is called Faith. Simple. Faith. First thing I want to know is, we've covered God's will to heal. We've covered, and we haven't done these as in depth as I'd like, but it gives you the understanding of really just the foundation, the basics of what we have in healing. We've covered speaking to our bodies. We've covered the authority that we have as a believer. Right now, right this moment, first thing, anybody have anything pop into your minds, question-wise, about how to apply, how this works, what to do, any nuances of this? First thing, anybody have anything? Or you already got it? You already got it. You're working in it. You're living in it. It's working well. You're seeing everything flow. Everything's wonderful. There's no hiccups. No conundrums. I guess you already all got it. Okay, good. We don't have to go back. Okay. Well, if you have anything, come up. You know, and I shared this with Christy this morning. I never want anybody in our church to be bashful about asking anything. Okay? This is a family. This is a community. This is a family. If I can answer it, I will tell you. If I can, if I need to, I'll refer you someplace. If it's confidential, I'll tell you that. But I don't want you to hesitate about asking questions. People are intimidated about asking the pastor questions, and I honestly have never understood that. You don't have to do that. Okay? Okay. Thank you for the feedback. That one, okay. Faith. Faith. Turn to Mark chapter 5, if you would. Since you've already got everything else about healing, and you've already been applying it and understand it, know how it works, know how to accomplish this, in all these other areas, and you're actually moving in it. Anybody struggling with anything in understanding? Jack?
Getting revelation.
Getting revelation of?
Just, I want to envision it. I want to see it happen in my imagination.
You want to see healing?
And allow it to then fill me.
Okay.
I'm still having trouble getting.
All right, well, let's talk about this for a moment. Because is there anybody else that struggles with this? Actually seeing it? Becky? Joe? Good? This is important. And this ties right in today with where we're going in faith, the understanding of faith. I want to be able, let me paraphrase it, I want to be able to see it. I'm struggling with the revelation. First of all, revelation is, everybody know what revelation is, what it means in the Greek, the definition? You
revealed.
Really? Okay. That is. It's when something is opened up and revealed to us. Now, just because you get a revelation doesn't mean you've got it. That you're walking in it. You're living it out and it's a part of your life. That's not what it means. You get a revelation, but you still have to apply what you're getting. It has to become a part of your life. It has to become a part of your experience. It has to be a part of what you meditate on. And this is all according to the Word. Now, Jack's question, it's a really valid question. When we want to see, it's important that we see in our mind the reality of what Jesus has done. First of all, let me just give you this. Have you ever pictured Jesus on the cross? Now, really? And I mean all the gruesome, horrible aspects of what Jesus went through. Not only the physical, but the spiritual, becoming sin, becoming to the point of just a human being as a lump of bloody flesh nailed to a cross. How visual that is, that he took on himself every sin and every sickness, every pain, every disease. He became sin. Now that's hard for me to wrap my brain around. But he became sin, the epitome of all that sin is, and took every disease and every sickness on himself. 1 Peter 2:24. Can you see that? Can you close your eyes and begin to, this is meditation, you're meditating on it. Some of it is your imagination, our imagination, because we weren't there physically. But it's actually picturing what this looked like. And it's just these two points. Jesus became sin, and he took every sickness and every disease. Now, when we begin to do this and meditate this way, we begin to look at, let's say, a symptom, a physical symptom of an illness or something we're facing. And or for me, like it had been long term on a number of things in my life, I would picture this new creation, my new identity and who I really am, where old things have passed away and all things have become new, and begin to see myself working. Now, I was on a job then at that particular time, working, living without pain, moving freely, my body flexing and moving. Good morning. Flexing and moving, and my body working normally and everything functioning normally. I could see it because I could see my sicknesses, my diseases, my injuries on Jesus on the cross. And so I would meditate on it, and I could begin to see myself free from it. But it takes some time. It takes some being alone and allowing your mind. Now, we have a disciplined and self-controlled mind. Disciplined and self-controlled. We determine what we think on, right? Everybody know the scripture? 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Sound in the Greek means disciplined and self-controlled. That means it's yours. So you determine what you think on. As you think on these things, you control what you think on. You control what you imagine, what you're seeing according to the Word. And you can begin to see yourself healed. If you picture Jesus on the cross, picture your sicknesses, diseases, and injuries on him, and then begin to see the new you, the one with a new identity, doing what you could not do. It's some quiet time with him. It's a good question. Anything else real quick? Any other questions real quick? And we'll get into the class today. Okay.
I think you answered. I was going to go like in the area of discouragement. People get discouraged.
Get discouraged. People do get discouraged.
Discouraged because they pray and they believe and they don't see it right away. They don't see it happening.
They pray and they believe. And that, you know what? It's another good question. What do you do with disappointment? Anybody ever been disappointed with how long it takes sometimes? I've been there. Come on. I've received instantly and I've received over a process of time. We have to get us out of the way, and it doesn't always happen immediately. The healing, your healing, is already provided. It's already there. Here it is. Here it is. God's already lavished it on us. Okay? Now, the reason we don't receive instantly, sometimes it takes process over time, is this process of getting us out of the way. Part of it is the doctrine we've been taught, you know, in the past. Part of it is how we feel. Part of it is the circumstances of the reports, the doctor's report that we might have listened to. It's gone in. All these things go into our heart. They go into our heart and they embed. And sometimes it takes the disengaging from our heart, these things that are contrary to the Word. Because now we're waiting and I'm just disappointed it's taking so long. We got to get us out of the way. There's all kinds of aspects of getting us out of the way, which I don't have time to cover. Not today. Okay? Maybe another time. Judy.
I know I've spoken to my body and I haven't seen the
medication. Uh-huh. Did you do it in faith? That's why we're covering it in faith today. Okay.
I know it's me. I know it's not God.
All right. See, by grace, through grace, it is grace by faith. Grace, God's favor, God's ability, God's capability, God's power, through faith. You have authority. Do you really believe you have authority?
Yes.
You know it.
Yes.
When you speak to things, I tell people when I speak to it, it will change. Right? When I speak to my body, it will change. I've broken bones, commanded them to be healed, mended now. And I've gone for walks when it was incredibly painful. I broke a bone in my toe a couple of times. By the time I got back, I'm dancing, hobbling out the door and dancing coming back. But I stick with it until it's done. Okay? And you hit the point. Sometimes you hit the point where it's, I could quit. I'm going to keep going. Okay? Did you keep going?
Yes.
Good. And you're not done. It is grace by faith, right? In salvation, we've already been healed of everything. That comes with the package. Right? We all know this. Sozo. The Greek word for saved, soteria for salvation. What does that mean? Anybody? What's the definition?
Saved, healed, delivered, set free.
Say it again, Becky. Yep. Righteous. Got peace. Got joy. Made the righteousness of God. New creation. And again, healed. That all comes with the package. But every single aspect of what God's promises are is taken by faith. It's appropriated. It's grabbed a hold of by faith. We stand here, and this is part of what, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand. We said, you know, all you have to do is receive it. Just receive it. Receive your healing. Receive your promises. Receive your prosperity. Receive it. Just receive it. But you have to do this by faith. It's by faith. It's supplied. But we have to believe it. And it's getting us out of the way. Okay? All right. Mark chapter 5, if you would. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to start with verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Wow. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?' Come on." And he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Okay. This is before the cross, right? Right? Before the cross. But she reached out and touched him. I don't have time to go into this whole thing. She reached out in faith and she touched him. She touched his garment. She touched really the tassel where the covenant promises were. That's all part. You know, healing was a part of the old covenant promises, right? But she touched that and she did it. If only I touch his garment, I'll be made well. Your faith, this is what Jesus said to her, your faith has made you well. You see, God had already provided healing. 12 years, she bled. She was unclean. She was, you know, all the things. Anybody ever had a blood loss in their body for any extended length of time? It drains you. It drains you. Attacks your immune system. There's a lot of issues with this. It's not just one issue. And over a long period of time, she was trying desperately to get well. Cost her everything she had. But by faith, touching the promises, I mean literally that's what she was doing, she received her healing. Jesus didn't do anything. If you could look at it like this, he was the carrier of the promise, the visible carrier, and she touched the tassel of his garment, where the promises were, the covenant was. And she received her healing. You see, grace is all the way through the Word. It really is. All right. Your faith has made you well. Are you beginning to see the connection? Kind of how this works? Okay. What is faith? Let me just ask this. What is faith? What is faith? Now, everybody has, you know, and you can ask the same question to everybody, and everybody has a little bit different understanding on the question or the word. So I want to ask you all, what is faith? If you were going to give me the definition of faith, you don't have to give me the Greek, you don't have to give me the Hebrew aspect, you just give me your definition of faith. What is faith to you?
Believing in.
Hilda.
Believe God and His Word. And trusting.
Trusting. Trusting.
Trusting in His Word.
Trusting in His Word. Anybody else? Becky.
Believing in something you can't see.
What else? I want you to think about this. What is faith? What is it? Because this is what we apply to take ownership of what God's given us by grace. This is it. It's not hard. It isn't difficult. Faith is not an insurmountable mountain. Faith is something that we all have a measure of. Romans 12, verse 3. Every one of us has got faith. You got faith to get born again. If you're born again, you got faith to get born again. If you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you got faith to grab a hold of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Your new identity, that was faith to grab a hold of your new identity. It is faith to step into healing. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, it says, by, Paul wrote, it is by faith that we have access to this grace in which we stand. So what is faith? Go ahead, keep going. We're not done. Judy. Okay. Being fully convinced God is able to do, and let's take it through the cross, and has done according to His Word. Good. Anything else? Hilda?
Recognize His Word from all His
name. Okay.
The Word is settled.
The Word is settled in heaven. Yes, it is. The Word never changes. God never changes. He's never changed one whit from before creation to right now. Never will. Anything else on faith? Any other thoughts? Fully persuaded. Pat?
Relationship.
Relationship. How do you mean that?
Well, a combination of what Joanne was saying about trusting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't believe the promise without believing the person behind the promise. And what Judy was saying, too, believing that it's already been provided in the area of healing.
Believing it's already been provided. Believing your healing's already been provided. Your healing's done. It's complete. Based on relationship. And actually, the relationship that the Lord has with us is much more solid than we have with Him, because we're fickle. Are we not? Even all of you mature believers, for all of us, we get fickle sometimes. All right. Faith is, this is the definition, it's a normal usage. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, hope is not, oh, I hope that my healing gets done. I hope that He hears me. I hope that I can prosper. I hope that I can be in health. I hope so. No. Hope in this context, in the Greek, means an expectation. Now, when you pray for something, or when you think about faith, do you think about expectation? Do you think about expecting something when you take authority over your body? Do you expect it to change? When you take and you speak to your body, or you speak to the mountain, whatever the circumstances or the symptoms might be, do you expect change? A lot of times we'll pray and we'll say, I'm in faith. I've tapped into God's grace. But we don't expect anything. And when you don't expect anything, you get to have what you expect. If you expect nothing, that's what you get to have. If you expect healing, now this means continuing past, if there's some lag time, past the disappointment. Sometimes it is long term. It isn't God. It's us. He's already done it. Okay? So, it's staying and continuing to encourage yourself in Him and be expecting every time. Every time the thought crosses your mind, I'm healed. Every time you speak to your body, every time you take authority over a situation or a symptom or the something that might be in your body, or when you're praying for somebody and you're ministering to them, I'm not going to be disappointed. I expect change every time. I don't care if it takes years. That's what I went through. In a number of things. I mean, my body was a wreck in all kinds of areas. I live in divine health. Does it mean things don't come to me? Or try to come and attach themselves to my body? Or try to cause me problems? Absolutely not. I face the same things everybody else does. What I allow, what I walk in, what I pursue is healing. I pursue the continuation of divine health for me based on my knowledge and my understanding of what the Word says. And I believe God. Now, I've grown in this over the years. I've been doing this for a long time. I've grown in this over the years. You can too. It's just growing and growing and growing in faith, expectation in what God has supplied through grace. That's how this works. All right, let me give you a couple scriptures. Mark 11:22. Jesus said, have faith in God. This is when He was walking with Jairus to raise up his dead daughter. Have faith in God. So many times our faith is so misapplied. Our faith is applied to ourselves, our works, our efforts, what we've done, what we've accomplished, how... You know, in our Word of Faith, charismatic grace teaching, Pentecostal, full gospel understanding, so many times we say, well, I know God supplied it. But then we go to work getting it. Really? We put our efforts in on our own selves to get what Jesus has already supplied. Have faith in God. Not faith in what we've done, or who we are, or what our status is, or how much money we've given, or anything else. Just have faith in God, in who He is. How much He loves you. What He's supplied. Faith in God. His ability. His ability. Mark 5:36. I'm sorry, I said Mark 11:22, have faith in God. That was when Jesus cursed the fig tree and He was teaching His disciples. Mark 5:36 was when Jesus was walking with Jairus. And He said, really point blank, first of all, they came to Jairus and they said, your daughter's dead. Don't bother Him anymore. Don't bother Jesus. Now, you want to talk about a sense of futility, right? Anybody ever felt that? So Jesus turns to Jairus and He says, hey, listen, don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid. He tackled two big issues here. Fear, which always tries to come in. This stupid fear. Fear is stupid. Fear is irrational. Isn't it? You ever known fear to be a rational thing? Reasonable, understandable? Is it like, fear is not your friend. Fear is a disruptor. Fear is really a hindrance to receiving healing. Fear is just a big stinking roadblock. Fear needs to be addressed almost every time right away. Fear is just, I don't know. This is what happens when we don't know the outcome of something. We're afraid. Instantly we turn to fear. You don't have to do this anymore. You know the outcome of what God has provided, what Jesus has given, right? The outcome is you're healed. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Oh, but it hurts so much. And our mind starts to rationalize. We start thinking, what if, what if, what if, what if? Stop. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Stop it. You've got authority over the fear. Tell fear to ditch. Get out. Leave. Scat. Fear doesn't belong to you. It's not yours. It only stays if you entertain it. First of all, so to Jairus, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Can you imagine the peace in just only believing? Only believe. Only believe. That's it. Luke 1:37, with God nothing is impossible. And you are with Him. You're born again, you are with Him. He is with you. He is in you. Don't be afraid, only believe. Next one. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. To walk in the Greek means to live. We live by faith. We live by faith. It should be a practical, experiential part of our lives all the time. Faith. Faith should be a normal part of our lives. But, you know, anybody think about faith, being in faith, doing something by faith on a regular basis? Or is it only when we're facing something that is a problem or a circumstance or a... Anybody ever think about it? I'm guessing no. We didn't get a rousing chorus here. Yeah, you do. Great! Because that's how we're supposed to live. Everything we face, everything, I mean just life. Joanne and her crew on the way in this morning got rear-ended. Had a stoplight. Thank God. I mean, everything was okay. They're protected. They're living in grace. Part of grace is God's preservation and protection. But you know what? Whether you realize it or not, you applied faith because you understand grace. That is a part of how you live. And it is a cognizant. It's becoming more cognizant, more aware of living in faith. And applying faith to everything. I believe You, Lord, over the circumstances. That's what this is. I believe what You have for me, what You've given to me over how I feel. I believe, Lord, and to believe is, in the Greek, means merely believe. It's simple. I believe what you said. One of the things that the Lord gave me, and I think I shared this already, but one of the things that the Lord gave me was, as I was meditating on the Word and on healing, do you really believe I did what I said I did? Do you really believe that? And you know, I ran this around in my head for a while and looked into my heart, and you know, I really came to the conclusion that I don't just teach this. I mean, this is the way I live. But I embrace regularly, I believe that you did, Lord, what you said you did. I believe that. This is the part where we come into, was God sincere about what he said? Was he sincere? Did he really mean it, or was he just joking? Was Jesus just joking around? By his stripes you were healed. Do we really believe he did what he said he did? That's faith. God's grace has supplied through salvation all our healing. And if you can think about it like this, I wish we had more time. If you can think about it like this, anybody here have a bank account? Anybody doesn't have a bank account? You don't have to say it. Have a bank account. Good to have a bank account. You see, the Lord, by grace, has given to each one of us, born again, a bank account where all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yes and amen. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. This bank account is stocked full. Every healing, every disease, every injury. And I could go on with this in all kinds of areas. But since this is healing class, we're going to stay on this. And so, this bank account is, I mean, it's packed to the max. Faith just says, that's mine. That's part of my bank account. That's in my bank account. And this is a part of what you visualize. This is mine. I own it. I'm taking a withdrawal. And I'm taking it now. I'm not waiting. You don't have to jump through hoops. Faith takes what you own. Second Corinthians 6, verse 2. I'm just going to take this part of this scripture, but it says, now is the time of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There is an impetus on the now aspect of our healing. Salvation, again, healing, prosperity, preservation, deliverance, joy, peace, righteousness, so on. Now is the day of salvation. This is when it's available. Now. Faith takes it now. No waiting. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 24, by faith you stand, all of us. Faith is never a formula. Anybody like formulas? I mean, I like formulas. Makes it easier, doesn't it? You know, if you do this, and you apply this, that this is what you get. And it works every time. The only formula you will ever have scripturally is this. Faith plus works. Now, when I say plus works, I mean works that come out of what I believe equals results. Faith plus works equals results. I believe God. I just merely believe Him. This is what He said. He meant what He said. He meant that He did what He said He did. It's mine, and I believe it. My works are going to be what I do that is an outcome or an outgrowth of my faith. And the results are going to be a part of God's grace to me. That's how this. That's as close to a formula as you're ever going to get. Does that make sense? Anybody got any questions? Okay. Am I going too fast? I covered a lot of ground today. I really wish we could expand on a lot of this stuff. Becky, you got something? Okay. All this happens in the heart. Okay? It is in the heart that we believe. Everybody familiar with Romans 10, 9 and 10? What is the scripture? If you read those two scriptures, what are they? Anybody want to read it? Christy, you're going to have to speak up.
Oh, is that the one where if you believe in your heart, the word is in your heart. No, I'm sorry. The word is in your mouth. It's in your heart. And if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, then you shall be saved.
You got the essence of it. Let's read it out. Who's got it? Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. Who wants to read it?
I got it.
Okay. Read it loudly.
If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
With the heart one believes. It's not your confession in and of itself. It's the belief in your heart. This is the faith aspect. Okay, it's the belief in our heart. It's not just our minds. It's not just mentally saying, I've got it. It's not just, because that's just where we store the information. Right? This is what the Word says. And a lot of times we go around and we say, this is what the Word says. This is what I've got. But we don't believe it in our heart. We really don't. Now, our heart is every part of our being. Every aspect of our being that says, I believe it. I'm going to carry this through. Every aspect of our being. Every part of us. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead, I'll be saved. I'll be sozoed. I'll be healed. Okay? It's believing in our hearts what God has said. Not just gathering information. So it's getting this transfer from our information gatherer, our memories, our minds, into our whole heart, where we just believe. I still remember when my neck changed and those vertebrae that were out of line. I can remember, they're just as vivid right now as it was then back in 05. And 5 years of severe pain, fetal position, just without going into it. It was awful. 5 years of that. Inoperable. Didn't understand a whole lot, but began to understand what God had given me by grace. Kept pursuing my healing. Took authority over and over and over and over and over and over and confessed regularly all the time that my neck was healed and the vertebrae were back in place. And one day, now thus I was just getting this, but what was happening was my heart was changing beyond the circumstances, the injury, beyond the pain, beyond the crippling effects of this injury. I was starting to believe it. And one day, I still remember getting into the car with Rosie, going to church. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. And it was instant, like a I like a flash from my information to my heart. I just believed. And it was at that moment I felt the vertebrae shift. And everything stopped. And that was the last time. That was the last, everything, last bit of pain, last bit of all the symptoms, all everything stopped. When I spoke to my blood pressure and I said, you are 120 over 70, because it was way, it was stroke high at one time. Being my personality isn't always great. I'm more of a, you know, the typical type A. And so I tend to, and I have to, I've been working with the Lord on this, but I have a tendency to pick up more and more responsibility, more and more things, and carry them. And it's not a good thing. The Lord doesn't call us to do that if it's not ours. But anyway, that's what my pattern was. It's a part of why I was a supervisor, part of why I was in management, all these kind of things in my life. And yet, while doing this, my blood pressure went sky high. And I said, I'm not going to live here, and I'm not going to live on meds. I'm not going to do it. And so it took me 6 months of speaking to my body, speech therapy, and declaring what the numbers would be. 6 months. And then I said, Lord, when do I get off these meds? How? When? And I got explicit instruction from the Lord. And I did it over a 2-week period. And my blood pressure was, guess what? 120 over 70. It took that long. I took 6 months of speaking to believe in my heart. That was a process for me. So when I took authority, I was getting it into my heart. I wasn't seeing anything right away. When I was speaking to my body, I wasn't seeing anything right away. Learning and growing to just believe God with my whole heart is what faith is. Any questions? Ken.
That verse you just, Romans 10:9. I've used it twice this weekend, the other day. Two people that did not know Jesus. That's a simple one. But what I'm getting at is I used it for salvation.
Okay.
Today you added the other, see, and I've never thought of it in any other way.
Salvation is the whole description, the whole meaning of salvation. Saved, healed, delivered, made righteous, made whole. Peace, joy. It goes on and on. It's really, there's a lot to it. But that's salvation. It isn't just the end result of heaven in itself. It's the life He's given us here and now and heaven. That's what eternal life is. Good. Well, we got to wrap. Sorry, time's up. My boss over here is, I'm on the clock. So, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much for healing every one of us. Thank you, Jesus, that it's done. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for making it real in our hearts, helping us to get this. And Lord, we love you and we honor you. We glorify you. And I thank you, Lord, that your purposes are done here in our lives, in this church, in this community, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you need healing today, not a problem. Okay?